College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I just got back from Washington, D.C. I had an amazing time. I was getting an award for being a small business advocate. And so while I was in the nation's capital, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go and hang out with all of our representatives and senators in our D.C. delegation. And I can just let them tell me how awesome I am because I like that kind of stuff, right? A little pat on the back. You know, who doesn't love a pat on the back? And then I'm going to come back home feeling real good about me. And so when I went to make the appointments, I remember Andrew Craig's legislative assistant saying, well, Shaletta, what's your ask? And I was like, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to be asking for something. Or didn't know I was supposed to need anything. I just, you know, wanted to, it's a rah-rah session. We were just going, oh, rah-rah about how great Shaletta is. And so I said, hey, my kids are crying. I'm going to call you back. I was lying. My kids weren't crying. But I knew I needed to call somebody who was well-versed in politics and, you know, somebody who could help me do a better job of strategizing what my ask would be, whether it would be for my company or something else. And so I called my friend Eric Escala and I said, hey, Andrew Craig's people want to know what my ask is. And he was like, well, you're a small business owner. Go up there and talk to them and give your small business friends access to them. Ask them what they need and share those concerns with the legislators because they may never get an opportunity to go to D.C., right? Most of them are solopreneurs. Who's got time to go to D.C. to talk to a legislator? Folks trying to keep their doors open. If you're really an advocate, sounds like something you should do. I was like, yes, that is exactly it. So we had our letter writing campaign. 100 or so business owners came to St. Paul a couple of weekends ago, and we wrote letters, and I got those letters and made copies and got them to all of our representatives. And so when I got to Ilhan Omar's office, before I gave her those letters, I needed her to know how much I appreciated her. So this is not something you can legislate. This is not a law you can pass. This is not a bill you can sign. It's not an initiative. But her, being the person that she is, doing the work she does, gives me permission to be bold, to be brave, to make good trouble. And I don't really understand, I don't really know if she understands it, but she created a movement where black and brown women are looking at her as one of our leaders. And she's not just walking the walk, she's talking the talk. And I needed her to know how much we appreciate her being so open and out front and the sacrifices that she makes to share her journey with us. And so in addition to meeting her in D.C., she is joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Representative Ilhan, girl, I had to tell you that. I'm sorry. I know I was supposed to be there dropping these letters off, but I just needed to let you know you created a movement so that me and Tamika and Devana and, you know, Marsha and so many other women of color who are in business, who are in positions of leadership can, you know, follow the trail that you blazed.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Thank you so much. I mean, you know, I always say it's not like that, you know, many of us who are firsts, who are trailblazers run to be that. But it is a wonderful opportunity, not just to get yourself elected, but to open the door, right, for so many people to be able to see themselves in you and think to themselves, if Ilhan can do it, I can do, you know, whatever. And in your case, and so many, It's inspiring them to lean in and to step into their power and be, you know, just really amazing heroes in their own regards.
But this is the thing. You could just do your work and not worry about us. You could just do you. and say, you know, I'm here to legislate. I'm not going to be your hero. I'm just going to do my job. I'm going to keep my head low. But, you know, when we open up our magazines and when we see our stories that you're telling, we see ourselves, and it just is fuels a fire within us to do more, to be more, to get out there and make our voices heard.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what representative democracy is supposed to be, right? We are supposed to have this sort of multiracial, multigenerational kind of representation where everybody feels that they are seen and heard. And I remember, you know, my grandfather saying to me, in a representative democracy, those who seek to represent should have an understanding and fluency in the people that they serve so that they can be an adequate advocate for them. And you know, it's been an incredible journey to be able to bring light to so many stories of struggle and help people, you know, find their own path of advocating for themselves and reaching their dreams.
And, you know, it's you're doing that. You're doing it out front, but you're also behind the scenes doing all the work. You know, when I was in D.C., I was doing my research, I was doing my homework, and I'm like, well, what are these legislators working on? And this Brittany Clardy bill, where you're at the forefront of a bill addressing the crisis of missing and murdered Black women and girls. You and I both know that when Black women come up missing and we call the police, they're like, oh, well, it's probably just a runaway. The investigations are not looked into. We've seen time and time again when white women come up missing, you know, the world stops and it's on CNN and it's everywhere. And Black people have to raise their hand and say, well, what about this girl that's missing? What about that woman that's missing? And that keeps happening in our society. But you have this Brittany Clardy bill that you're working on. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, that has been a lot of our work, whether it is talking about the maternal mortality crisis where Black women are four times more likely to die in just giving birth than our counterparts that are white, or whether it is advocating for the PUSH Act to try to make sure, you know, Black girls who are disproportionately suspended and kicked out of school, you know, more than their counterparts, or whether it is the Clown Act, which Minnesota passed in trying to make sure we're not discriminated for showing up in the way in which God created us and wearing our crowns and however we want to wear it, or now addressing the crisis of the missing and murdered Black women and girls. It's an issue that has been flying under the radar for too long. You know, the bill takes a page from the Minnesota's playbook, where similar initiative has shown promise. It's about learning from that work. We named it after Brittany Clark D., a Minnesotan whose tragic story should never be forgotten. Her family took quick action when she went missing, even though the police initially brushed them off. Mm-hmm. It's a reminder of why we need this bill. The core of the bill is to set up an office for the missing and murdered Black women and girls within the Department of Justice. This office is going to be a big player in tackling disparities in violence. It is going to dive into research, gather data about missing and murdered Black women and girls, and come up with smart policy ideas. They are not going to stop at just the data. They're also going to develop best practices too. Think of it as a roadmap of how law enforcement and communities can better respond to these crimes. This bill is going to be a real game changer, pushing us toward justice awareness and protection for Black women and girls who face challenges for far too long. I am incredibly excited to introduce it on the 19th and give it a platform through the African American Leadership Conference that the Black Caucus is putting on next week here in D.C., and we're going to have a lot of incredible Minnesotans, women who have been leading, you know, researchers, professors, victims, so many people who have been in the forefront, and we're going to give them a platform and make sure that this issue is one that people understand, one that people start to care about, and one that we don't have to deal with for too long.
I know that one of the things you care about is food insecurity. And you were recently here in the Twin Cities, and you went to Southern Anoka Community Assistant Food Shelf, and you celebrated the $1 million in funding that you've been able to give this community. Talk to me about how you are helping to address the food insecurity here in Minnesota in southern Anoka County.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for asking about that, because most people don't ever like want to talk about this.
Girl, I be doing my homework, girl. Yes, ma'am. I was like, what's she up to? What's she been doing? And that's the thing. The reason I'm asking you about that today is because nobody's talking about it. When I got ready to do the research on that, I Googled it. Not one story. I'm like, how do you bring $1 million into a food shelf in southern Anoka County, and that is not in the paper? That is not making the news. That is not being talked about.
Yeah. Girl, most people don't even remember I represent that part of the district. But food issues have been really important to me. Most people don't know that before I got into government, I used to be a nutrition educator with the University of Minnesota's Extension Department. And I'm also someone who's experienced hunger in ways that are unimaginable to normal people here in this country. And so we fight for universal school meals, which Minnesota just passed. We fight to try to deliver when we do our community project funding, which is a direct appropriation to community projects that we look for, to fund organizations like SACA that provide resources to communities like Hilltop and Columbia Heights and Fritley and St. Anthony, which I represent. But we also, provided money to Shiloh in North Minneapolis for the food program that they have. We partner with so many food organizations to try to make sure that the gap that exists is filled. And, these agencies that are doing critically important work are getting the attention of the federal government, and that their representative is delivering actual dollars so that they can continue to serve the community.
Now, I have to tell you, I appreciate all the swift action that you take. I came to your office this week on Tuesday, and we met and chatted, and I dropped off a box of letters for Minnesota small black business owners. Some of them are in your district. Some of them are not. And you took the time to read them. I understand that your office has already started responding. It hasn't even been three days.
We've responded to every single letter that you dropped off, and look forward to connecting them with resources and trying to make sure that the issues that they raised is addressed. Taking care of our small businesses is another priority of mine. When I chatted a little bit, that when, it was Black Business Month, we sat down with the small business owners, especially Black women small business owners, to some friends in North Minneapolis, like Kenya McKnight and others, who were willing to share their vulnerabilities, the opportunities that exist, and the successes that they are having, as well as some of the challenges. We provided resources to Neon to create a kitchen for food entrepreneurs. And that came out of conversations that we had in previous years in trying to understand some of the challenges that they were having in securing funds. And, when it was Small Business Month, we also had the Second Gentleman in, and we toured with him in around some small businesses in the district. What you are doing in advocating for them, sharing their stories, is so vital. And I know that Representative Dean Phillips was sharing with you how he might utilize the small business committee that he's on in trying to have some hearings, and maybe we can do field hearings. I look forward to connecting with him to try to see if we can do a field hearing in Minnesota to directly have them in front of us and other colleagues to share some of their challenges and the opportunities that they have and how we can further assist them.
I would love to moderate and be a part of that. Y'all be sure to call me and use me as a resource. I am here for you like you are here for these small business owners. Representative Ilhan Omar, thank you so much for being kind enough to allow me to spend some time with you on Tuesday when I was in Washington, D.C. And thank you for being on the Shaletta Show.
Thank you, sis. And thank you for always sharing, the good gospel of the community. Really, really do appreciate you.
All right. You have an amazing weekend. Thank you for the time.
You too.